always company, especially when Dr. Decker Weiss, Dr. Holly Lucille, and Lisa Davis get together. Here's their show. It's your health, and it ain't rocket science.
Here at Radio MD, our call-in number 1-877-711-5211. 1-877-711-5211. We're doing the mind-body connection. Hippies, yogis, and saints. It's not just for hippies, yogis, and saints. We know that Lisa's the saint. Holly, which one's a yogi, which one's a hippie? I'm not sure.
In college, I was a hippie because I would, a long time ago, I was pretty, pretty crunchy with my, well, I won't get into details, but you got the idea.
I see dreads and Birkenstocks.
I do
see no that. Dreads, but let's just say the razor didn't come out too often. Okay, I'm not saying anything else. That was 20. That was 20 years ago.
If that
ago.
Was the case, then the patchouli obviously came out because yeah.
Yeah.
I can still. You know, I still can't.
Seriously. Patchouli
no, I no, I never did stomach. That. I never did that. Never no liked patchouli. That smell. No, but you know, it's funny because I didn't get into the whole mind-body thing until later. I mean, I was open to it, but it was really just in the last like 10 years or so after my big hippie phase. And I think that shows that, again, it really is for everybody. You just have to have an open mind and just know that it really can make a difference in your life.
Holly, have you ever had patients that you talked about mind-body stuff with? And then their religion came up as a potential obstacle to that, because I have had that happen. I practiced in Arizona for many years, and they'll say, well, that mind-body stuff, I don't know if my pastor would feel that. Did you ever bump into that?
I do all the time. But here's how I handle it. And it's really, it's like, I do this, you ask me, do I ever bring up mind-body? I do it all the time because guess what? It exists. It exists just as clearly in my mind as the fact that we all have tongues. Seriously, the mind-body connection is there. Whether people are aware of it is a question. Whether it's closed down is another question. How much access do people have to it? That's also kind of in the mix as well. But I'll give people examples, and I won't use this, but a lot of people, I'll just say the mind-body connection. I'm like, have you ever seen something that you felt attractive, or a couple of them, like people who we'll see a love scene or what have you. That's seeing it, right, with your mind and your octave optic nerves. What happens in your body? Same thing you can say with people who watch, I don't even want to say this on the air, but that, something sexy, let's just say. And what happens with your body then? Have you ever had your feelings hurt? You know, somebody actually hurts your feelings. Where do you feel that? That chest, right? So it's there. I think letting people understand and know about it. And then when, to your question, Dr. Weiss, when the religious part comes up for folks, and of course, everybody's individual, I always, am very respectful of whatever anybody has chosen. I do get a little curious when people have such an external locus of control, because it's like, what do you want to do? You want to be able to trust your own authority, that internal locus of control. And that's when I put it down. It's like, instead of thank God, okay, thank goodness. Now, and that can be your higher goodness, your goodness, that place inside of you, that higher mind that you can reach. And of course, also thank God for those people who believe in that. And that's basically how I handle with my patients, making sure that they're aware that there is this connection, whether they have access to it or not. And then also really not being threatening about it and kind of taking some of the sting of connotation out.
I always try and go with the patient's needs. I say, well, what religion do you practice? And if so, what part of that spirituality attracts you to that? What attracts you? And I will have those conversations with them. If they say, well, what I like about this is I like that Christ was a man of peace, or that God is synonymous with compassion. I try and elicit that to them, and then I try and tie it to their current situation. For example, you're in turmoil. Everybody who has a chronic disease is in turmoil. They are in disharmony. There is that disconnection, and I try and connect it. But boy, I'll tell you, I'm dancing on hot coals a lot of times, trying not to offend people.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I read about something last year. There was an article online about some Christians who were upset about like a yoga class or something at the church or something like that. I don't know where it was, but I thought, I don't understand. I was just totally confused. I'm like, I don't understand. But I guess if they're seeing the yoga as a religious practice that is somehow, it's just different from what they believe, or they think it's some outside thing. Have you guys, is that what you're talking about, Decker?
I think so. We do have a caller. Mark is calling you from Hawaii, just about to ask us a question about this. Mark from Hawaii, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Good afternoon. Hey, guys. Regarding the mind-body connection, a simple way to demonstrate the mind-body connection that we as hypnotherapists and as a stage hypnotist as well that I use often is we'll have somebody stand up, and if they're alone, they can do this just by standing in front of their bed with their back toward their bed if it's physically and medically safe for them to do so. And if you simply think to yourself, I am falling backwards, don't push yourself and force yourself. Just by thinking, I am falling backwards, you fall backwards. Now, about 1 or 2% forward, so those people should be careful. But it's just amazing. Just thinking, I am falling backwards,
wow.
You fall backwards.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
And when people say, well, I don't think I can be hypnotized. And I say, and if you believe that, you've hypnotized yourself to believe that. You've convinced yourself of something. How powerful are you? Now convince yourself to believe you can. Now let's convince yourself to believe you can make a change and you can do whatever you want. Let's put your focus on something positive that can help benefit you. And then I give them a few little demonstrations, and they're completely amazed. And then they usually just collapse on the chair, and we make them jump around. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, Mark, that's awesome. Wow. That's such powerful little tidbits to really illuminate this connection that's there. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks
Thank
for calling.
Thank you
very much.
It just fascinates me the so many routes to the mind-body connection. There's so many ways, religious, spiritual, an exercise that Mark from Hawaii just gave us. There's so many ways, and that's what I want listeners to know is there just doesn't have to be one way to get there.
Yeah, it's true. I tend to be that. Oh, go ahead, Holly. I was going to say, I tend to be that type of person where I'm like, I have monkey mind. I can't meditate. I can't be hypnotized. I can't do this. I've been telling myself that for so many years that now that I'm actually like, you know what? I've got to change that way of thinking. And now I'm trying. And I have to be honest, it hasn't gotten easier yet, but at least I'm trying and I've opened my mind. I mean, that's a step forward, right, you guys? You got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
I think it's a huge step forward. And I also think that people... I've had this experience certainly with myself and also people that are in my family and my loved ones and also my patients is that they feel some sort of like, I have to do this. I have to do yoga. I have to meditate. And it becomes something that throws into their sense of shame if they don't. You know, the way that you got to get curious before you get critical with yourself, especially if it's hard, if it's hard to sit down and quiet your mind, I think it's fair to ask yourself, I wonder why that is. What might you be afraid is going to come up? A lot of times, you know, I think the mind-body connection is very, very prevalent in something called nighttime feeding syndrome. And that's where pretty much through the day you can manage your diet and you do pretty well. But guess what? At night, when the noise settles down, the errands are run, you're home from work, you're kind of by yourself, guess what? There's a little bit more space there. There's a little bit more quietness there. And people tend, it's a real diagnosis called nighttime feeding syndrome, to start to eat. Yeah, and then that starts to stuff down. And so I work with a lot of people with this because it is an obstacle to cure. Like, hey, why do you get all cattywampus at night with your diet and your caloric intake? And once we start to get curious that they're really afraid and they're using food to push something down, then that leads them into other work. And I think that that's, that's where the real art of healing is, that we can just understand and help people.
Now, Holly, what was that word you said? Cattywampus? What? I'm
cattywampus. Cattywampus.
Cattywampus.
Please translate Hollyism for us.
I love talking with you because I was about to say, I always learn interesting phrases from you. Never heard that in my life. Decker, have you heard that?
No. That'd be
I think it's all over the place. That's what it really means. Like, kind of.
Are you sure you didn't make it up? Okay.
I might have very well made it up.
That's not real.
I would continue to bust
myself. Between the mind and body. It's somewhere in
there. It is, yeah. Came in somewhere.
I love it.
Well, I feel more open in my mind and my body just from being able to talk with you all and explore and excavate, I think, this lovely subject. So we're going to be right back. Stay tuned.